Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Trish Clark and me, Carl Bott. Today, this is 420 day. It probably explains the production area of our offices. You can't even see them. There's steam in there or some smoke.
Smoke.
Yeah, 420 day today.
420.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Liam, explain 420 day to
It's weed, man. Just like weed stuff. I don't actually know.
420 is the day they legalized marijuana.
See, I didn't know that. I just was like,
I know.
Yeah. Wow, now how would I know that?
You wouldn't, and you know what makes it even better? Liam doesn't either.
There you go.
And so here I am, the straightest guy here, is going, I have to explain 420 day. Anyway.
To everybody in the room, yeah, that's
National 420, anyway, today's the 20th of April, 7:06 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Liam going to do, hey, it's cool, man. It's cool.
Okay.
It's Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Healing starts here.
Healing starts here. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so in case anybody didn't notice, we kind of skidded into this morning.
I didn't even have my computer.
We weren't paying attention.
We were
to what
over
was
there chit chatting.
We were, and our great engineer here had to get us.
I was yelling, one and a half.
He was the only one there.
He gave us a countdown that
seconds.
We totally ignored.
Yeah.
And then he goes, he turns up the music or the intro, yeah. Turns it all the way up, and I'm going. And I looked.
That's us.
I looked down. H S.
Okay, so anyway. It's 45 degrees in downtown Ready. We're looking for a high today of 71, a low this evening of 49. And on Friday, again, mostly sunny and a high of 80. Turning cloudy Friday night, a low of 58. And on Saturday, sunny, a high of 84. Saturday night, mostly clear and a low of 53. On Sunday, a high of 83, a low of 49. On Monday, a high of 80 and a low of 53. And it's going to be sunny and beautiful all into next week in the mid-80s all week long. So that's going to look good, but it's probably getting close to time. You might want to start thinking about turning some water on because the lawns and plants and stuff will start to dry out here.
I figured out how to keep my water bill down, my use of water down by over 50-60% this year. I'm going down to that short-term rental, which is right now, you know, next door almost, and I'm going to put my hose on. I mean, I'm going to connect our sprinkler system to their water system. And use that.
To whose water system?
The short-term rental, you know, the VRBO. They're never, nobody's ever there, you know. So
okay.
I thought I'd just connect it and then just use their water. I mean, why not?
Gotcha. Weather is always
you
just
think
right.
You're no, not I'm, sure what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm going to use their water.
Yeah,
you want
exactly.
to use my street, I'm going to use their water.
Actually, when I first lived in my house, there was someone who tried to hook up to our electricity, a neighbor next door. So, yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. Why not?
Well, our next door neighbors on the other side, they are such nice people. I mean, we are blessed by the neighbors we have in our neighborhood, except for one. We were all going through this thing. It just seemed like we're using a lot of water. You know,
mm-hmm.
What's going on? And Martha said, well, we're filling up our, you've got your tap outside on this side of the house. We're just filling up the swimming pool with it. And she said it, you know, laughing. And and then we got the next bill. And I went, I'm sure she's just kidding.
The weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Can you believe this weather?
Wow, my yard is looking so good. I've been out just really kind of getting stuff going, and all the camellias and the azaleas and the
it's getting harder and harder to ignore yard work.
Looking pretty.
It's harder and harder. It's getting harder and harder for me to ignore yard work.
Yeah.
I mean, things are blooming. And, I went out the other day, and I, you know how you have these, you know, a tree in this big planter.
Yeah.
It had grass growing out of it. And I went out there and plucked it. And Linda just came over and hugged me. She goes, "Oh, my God, you've turned the corner." And I said, "No, I haven't." Maybe someday.
You don't, so you don't enjoy yard work?
I'm thinking about just pulling all the grass out. Well, first of all, our backyard has no grass.
Yeah.
It's always been a battle back there because there's never been grass. It's been this green stuff, and I thought it was moss for a while. But it's been this green stuff. But now that's even gone. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened to it. So I'm thinking about just plowing it all under.
Mm-hmm.
And putting that turf, you know, that fake stuff. That
artificial
looks
so, turf? Yeah, artificial, it looks great.
It looks so good.
Yeah, it does.
You know, cut out holes for the walkway out there. And then, you know, Linda's not pushing me on. I mean, she's not saying no. She says, "I think that's a good idea. It's always going to look nice. You don't have to touch it."
Yeah. No, in small areas, that makes a lot of sense. You know, the other thing that makes good sense in small areas where you can't, it's difficult to mow and there's just little patches of lawn and stuff like that. There's all kinds of things. I don't recommend bark.
Yeah.
I'm not a landscaper, however, bark doesn't stand up well.
You have to keep putting it in.
It fades. If you get a lot of water, it's kind of, I'm a big fan of river rock.
Oh, well, let me tell you.
See, and it looks nice. You can vacuum the stuff out of it if you want. You can blow the stuff out of it.
Do you need river rock?
No, I don't right now.
If you ever need river rock, I have a source.
Okay.
And it's legal.
Uh-huh.
No, it really is. It's legal. And I didn't find out until after we'd bought. We put that, you know, river rock in front of our house. Yeah, you just have to blow it.
Yeah, and when it's wet, it looks pretty. It's got all kinds of colors. And you blow it off, or you can take the other end, you know, and vacuum it. Anyway, it's
here's
good
the downside
stuff.
Of, you know, you see people like in Arizona and all these, they put, you know, rock out and all that. There's no grass anywhere.
Yeah.
The downside of putting like rock in artificial turf is the heat signature comes up.
Yeah.
You know, during that month and a half of hell we live in, the heat signature goes up, but the rest of the time it looks good. I had a house down in Fallbrook, California. I mean, it was brand new. Nothing was out there. In my front yard, I dug. Are you ready for this? I dug like a meandering creek in the front yard. I filled it with river rock. I put bushes. You know the right things to do, and this was in 1988. I was putting the drought-resistant bushes, no grass or anything like that in the front yard, and it came out great. But moving, how much rock I moved in the back. Remember those Suzuki Jeeps? The little, it looked like a miniature Jeep, and
yeah.
It was called the Suzuki something. I filled the back up from the base. I don't know how many times.
Yeah.
But I got all those rocks in there. And
I remember.
And I think that's what that did it. I think that was it. I think I expended my last round on that one in 1988.
Yeah, well, I started with the river rock as we started pulling out evergreen when we moved into our house. They had, for whatever, every planter was full of evergreen. Hornet heaven. I mean, oh, my God, when the summer came out and it got warm, you couldn't walk around the pass. You couldn't get to the door. You couldn't get out the side door because wasps were everywhere. So little by little, I had Bob pulling all that out, and I was replacing all of those big planters, especially in the front, with the river rock. And then putting in plants. Man, it looked so nice. And then
what happened?
Well, it's still there.
It's still there?
It's still there. Okay. The across the front, so I have lawn.
You have the dirt there. that you plant your stuff in, then you cover it with river rocks after that.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And I put the ground cover in, and then put the rock in, and then dig in, and I've got, like, that's where my rose garden is out in the front, but that's all river rock underneath it. Easy to maintain, easy to fertilize. I did the same thing in the back of certain areas where grass didn't want to grow. And, you know, the thing is, it's so easy to maintain year after year after year.
Well, eventually, the stuff underneath rots out. Yeah.
You want to be sure you use something really good to keep the weeds out.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah.
Well, here we are with all the things going on in our
county,
gardening. In our world. And we're sitting here talking about how I expended my last magazine, my last round in 1988, putting in all, 2 yards and all of that.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot of stuff today. We got Patrick Jones coming on at 8 at 7:30. We got Red Bluff Roundup.
Oh, perfect.
Bullfighter. Now.
Oh, okay.
Look at him. He looks perfectly normal.
Yeah, sane and everything.
He can't hear me right now, but I
bet
wait.
He can.
Well, I don't know.
Aren't you broadcasting out there in the lobby?
No, I don't know if they have it turned up.
Oh, maybe not.
When it's going out there, because there's a delay, my producers get it's hard for them. I mean, and I understand that. You know, they're trying to push a button, and they're listening to something that's not happening yet. Yeah. But we got to take a break. And today, this segment is brought to you, big surprise, Cornerstone Community Bank. We really like Cornerstone. We've been doing business there, you know, for years. Our other bank that we started with, when we first moved here, it used to be called Redding. Now it's got a name I can't pronounce. I'm sorry, but same people, same nice people, all of that. But they are a multi.
That happened to a lot of our
national
small
banks. Yeah,
we all start with a small bank.
But Cornerstone Community Bank is a local bank, local board of directors. They believe in our community. They help our community. They've got 4 branches, 2 right here in Redding at 1845 California Street, the other one over in the Cobblestone Shopping Center. That's the main branch. 1 in Red Bluff, and the newest branch right down in Anderson. They are investing in our community like that.
Yes, they are.
Okay, we'll be right back.
All right.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Redding Fitness Center would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Redding Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
Gold Leaf Nursery is back open and stocked up. Gold Leaf Nursery wants to help you grow your own eatable grocery. Begin with the sweet taste of fresh fruit from fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now start preparing your garden. We have a huge selection of vegetable and herb plants, including flavor-filled heirloom varieties you can't find at the store. And we know a thing or two about this because we've been growing veggies since 1975. Spring has sprung, and it's time to add color to your landscape. The nursery is blooming with azaleas, clematis, phlox, candy tuft, perennials, and annuals. So saturate your landscape with color. Add yet another dimension to your landscape with statuary. We just received our new statuary order. Several different bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. Come by and check us out at 6186 Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road. We're open Tuesday through Saturday.
Get ready, comedy fans, to spend an evening busting at the seams with comedian, actor, and writer Nick Swardson. Best known for his roles on Reno 911, Grandma's Boy, and his own comedy shows Pretend Time and Typical Rick, Nick Swardson will take you on a journey of smells and laughter. So grab your tickets today. Thursday, May 25th, the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center will be filled with laughter. Tickets start at just $40 plus fees. Visit WindRiver.com for complete details. And find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Now's the time to get a great deal on proven Kubota farming equipment. Tractors that are adaptable, versatile, and rated number one in durability and owner experience. Hay tools that are backed by a 2-year warranty. And durable Sidekick utility vehicles and SSV skid steers. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment for zero down, 0% APR for up to 60 months, now through March 31st. Visit KubotaUSA.com for full details.
Hi, this is Chelsea with NorCal Tractor and Equipment. You do it all, we do it local.
Hey there, Marty Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. Mimi and I have moved our tasting room back downtown to the corner of Pine and Butte Street across from Corbett's and the Reading Chamber of Commerce. We're open Wednesdays through Sundays from 3 to 7 p.m. and Fridays till 9 p.m. While you're here, enjoy food from the Hearth Kitchen and Pie Shop and munch on some delicious handmade chocolates by Nanette de Chocolate. Come on down and enjoy life with us, Mosley Family Cellars at the historic Thompson House. Come as guests and leave as family.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Reading Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you, guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Reading Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl Bott, Trish Clark, and we were talking gardening. But now, you know, I don't even know where to start. Okay. Chris Street has thrown a hand grenade into what's going on in Shasta County.
Yes, he has.
And Patrick Jones will be on at 8. Not for the whole time for discussing that. There's a whole lot of questions.
For a lot of things going on.
We want to hear from Patrick because, I mean, he is the chairman.
Yes.
But he just released something yesterday. Another thing yesterday that I'm reading, it's like 7 pages, and he's going out after for all the emails, you know, Freedom of Information Act, all these things, and he is we'll have him on next week. What else? Well, I'm going to let him talk about it, but the YMCA is involved, and
there's a lot of allegations, and a lot of it is true.
It's allegations right now.
There are allegations, but if in fact it's true, there's some really important stuff that needs to come to light.
Yeah.
You know, this whole we were talking before we went on the air. One of the things we were talking about the change in our community, the people that with the new board and the old board, most of the people around are actually the people in power. People we're talking about were a heavily Republican conservative community,
mm-hmm.
but most of the people involved in all of this are basically your average rural county conservative person. I wouldn't say that it's a liberal, but the lines are not, they're drawn among people that generally get along about things.
Yeah, they're drawn. It's going on between the predominant party here.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
Exactly, and it's an interesting kind of dichotomy to sit on the sidelines and watch when you're not really involved in any of it.
But I've got to walk. The media has to walk a line here,
mm-hmm.
because it's one thing to want to get. Let everybody know what's going on, we try to do.
Exactly. What are the facts?
And
not the opinions, but what are the real facts of what's going on?
And try not to give one side more than the other.
Yeah.
Which is why Patrick's on, because we were saying, well, after the last time Chris was on and all the things he said, are you going to give the
auditor and the board of opportunity
was offered,
to respond?
And so Patrick's on today. To do that, but now the newest, the latest broadside, and so you got to walk this line between there's allegations,
mm-hmm.
and some of them are serious. I mean, but there's nothing's been laid out there for proof. You know, hard proof.
Right. On either side.
On either side. And, you know, it's kind of like, this is my opinion. I'm an expert in this. And you've got the other side who's an expert also saying, no, that's not correct. But the latest ones are more of a release of secret information. How did that happen? You know, who leaked it?
Yep.
And all
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And that's a fact. It was
things.
Leaked.
Yeah. And other things. Yeah. So,
going to be an interesting time. And, you know, I think what I would say to people is the other thing that's going on is there's a lot of little bits of information going through the neighborhood media, if you will.
The
next door neighborhood, what have you. And you can tell by the comments that people come back that they really don't know what's going on.
How can you know?
They're forming an opinion and ready to go hang somebody.
Well, I hope
based
not.
On and if you but that's the, and that's why I'm bringing
based
it up.
Based on allegations.
Based on little tidbits thrown out in a neighborhood conversation post and then come back with different things and by their questions you got to know they don't know the full story.
No.
As an example, they make comments about, okay, the guy didn't get the job, so why doesn't he just go back home?
Go away.
Well, he lives here.
Yeah.
And that's been evident. He's lived here for a while.
There have been things said about him that are atrocious.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is these people are coming back and saying, well, this guy just needs to get out of town and quit stirring up and blah, blah, blah. He didn't get the job, and he needs to get over it and go home. Well, that's not quite so. Obviously, they don't really know
everything.
What's going on.
Right.
And I guess what I would say to people out there is before you start voting this way or that way or trying to throw people out of office or get into another whole recall thing and that, find out what the facts are. Really take the time. Either don't get involved and vote one way or the other, or find out what the facts are before you make up your mind.
Well,
both sides. And I'm not encouraging either one of them.
No,
about any of them. I'm just saying, find out what the facts are.
That's why we will continue to give a platform to both sides.
Exactly.
And, you know, and see this come out. I mean, this is going to end up, the way it looks right now, there's going to end up in court somehow.
There, yes, it is.
And so that, now, speaking of recalls, that school board, where's that school? It's Gateway.
Gateway,
now you've got a group of people saying they're going to recall two of them, husband and wife, because they voted against people coming in, and because they voted against it, now they don't have a full.
They can't fill that fifth seat.
Right.
And
so, because they voted against, they can't agree, let's recall those two. What about recalling the other two that voted? I think they should have a recall. I think the whole four members of the board should resign, and they just have another election.
Well, start over.
I mean, start
or perhaps
over.
It's time to, it's a small school district, perhaps it's time to look at consolidating with another school district.
Why do we have like 30 districts?
Because everybody, because that's the last semblance of local control in these communities, and they want,
absolutely
they refuse
true.
To give up that school board. And we've been there, done that, I can't tell you how many times, looked at consolidation.
And I agree with that.
Well,
you know,
people are
that,
not
that
willing to give it up.
You are, you know what, it's your kids in that district, and you ought to have a say about it. And we
more so now than ever with all of the decisions that have come down and said parents shouldn't be involved and we're going to make these decisions.
And so now parents are involved in people.
And they're not about to give that up.
Anyway.
Yeah. You're right. It's interesting.
It is interesting.
But a lot of stuff going on. And
I don't even know where to start. Fox News and the Dominion voting machines.
I wanted that to go to trial so bad.
This is huge because what Fox said is, in the documents is, we knew that wasn't true. However, we felt like it was a story the other side had to be covered. Well, they just settled for $789 million before trial started. And so what does that do to the people that are saying Dominion voting machines are corrupt and all that? Does that mean that Dominion voting machines are okay?
No, I see that. Then that's why I wanted it to go to trial, because it doesn't solve anything.
Well,
it certainly it doesn't prove anything one way or the other, and that's why it needs It has never been decided by a judicial. The claims made by those people who don't believe it was a good election have never been adjudicated in a court of law. Well, they have been thrown out on lack of standing, on lack of this, lack of that. There has never been a case submitted, tried to decide whether, in fact, those allegations are true.
However,
and until they do, you're not going to get rid of the people who believe that it was a crooked election.
If they were being sued for defamation, and what this is, what this said was that they, that case that the other side had that for against Fox was strong enough because it was getting ready to go to court.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what it would have ended up at. Fox felt like they were going to lose.
And too many big celebrities at risk to take a chance on one of them
going
down.
Oh, they would have gotten it. They would have gotten, yeah.
Yeah, and that, but see, still, to me, that's what it's, you said, what it says. What it says to me is different from what it says to you.
Yeah, well, maybe it
is. And that's the problem, because we still don't know.
I do know one thing.
Yeah.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Judy Maxwell is just one fine individual. She started her company back in 1993. She's been helping our community ever since. You got all your insurance and financial needs under one roof. If you're looking for second opinions on your insurance, your retirement plans, your 401ks, any of this, give Judy a call at 530-221-0441. She's got a group of experts working for her. She's located at 1378 Hilltop Drive. We have insurance with Judy Maxwell. I'll just say that. And, you know, she treats everybody as she would a friend there. So it's a good place. We'll be right back.
Will you
Goldleaf Nursery is back open and stocked up. Goldleaf Nursery wants to help you grow your own eatable grocery. Begin with the sweet taste of fresh fruit from fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now start preparing your garden. We have a huge selection of vegetable and herb plants, including flavor-filled heirloom varieties you can't find at the store. And we know a thing or two about this because we've been growing veggies since 1975. Spring has sprung, and it's time to add color to your landscape. The nursery is blooming with azaleas, clematis, phlox, candy tuft, perennials, and annuals. So saturate your landscape with color. Add yet another dimension to your landscape with statuary. We just received our new statuary order. Several different bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. Come by and check us out at 6186 Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road. We're open Tuesday through Saturday.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hey there, friends. RC from Tobacco and Brew sharing with you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Foundation Cigar Company, The Tabernacle. A full-bodied smoking experience, this stick was curated with the connoisseur in mind, as well as our value-conscious customer. This ensemble of long filler from Honduras and Nicaragua is swaddled with the sensational Connecticut broadleaf wrapper. This smoke is a luxurious gift for any cigar aficionado. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop. Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee.
Welcome back
to
Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. Friday, the 20th of April, 4:20.
Wow, the month is going by. The year's going by. Whoa.
Yeah, but let me tell you, this is my favorite time of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'll tell you why. Because now
rodeo.
We're starting with the Red Bluff Roundup at the same time. We're having the rodeo this week, Roundup this weekend. And then Cool April Nights kicks off Friday. And that goes for a week. And then everybody kind of
takes a real quick, deep breath and we get right into the Reading Rodeo.
Reading Rodeo comes in then four nights May.
So it absolutely is the best time of year for weather. For what's going on, the activities.
Everything. It's going to be beautiful. The weekend's going to be
absolutely
beautiful.
Incredible.
And we are here with, we love interviewing people from in the rodeo world. And with us today is Josh Darries, who is a bullfighter, and he's going to be not only at the Red Bluff Roundup, he's going to hang out for a while, come back to the Reading Rodeo. So good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, our pleasure.
You know, this is my favorite part is getting to know people a little bit. So, Josh, tell us something about you.
Oh, man, I'm an addict. I'm an addict to rodeo. There's no other way to say it. Rodeo is kind of a way of life for me and my family and everybody else. And it's been able to let me meet people like you guys and be able to come on and share some stories and everything else. So
how did you get to be a bullfighter?
Oh,
that's exciting.
Where were you raised at? Were you raised in a ranch family, or was this some? How did you get the initial involvement? Yeah,
I guess I was born into it. My mom rodeoed, ran barrels. My dad rodeoed. My mom was actually pregnant with me when she won Salinas, so. It's kind of a natural thing. And I grew up in Salinas and around that area, it's all ag, as you well know, it's salad capital of the world. And just since growing up, I went and I've been, Red Bluff and everywhere across the U.S. to rodeos.
What activities were you involved in?
Yeah. I always had a little wiffle ball bat and ball in my hand and at all the rodeos and I played all the sports growing up and they never pushed me to do anything I didn't want to do, and so I was lucky in that aspect and I got to choose my own path. So
that's a big thing.
Yeah,
it is.
It is now, and especially nowadays. Now I'm older and all my friends have kids and sooner or later hopefully I'll have some kids and.
You got plenty of time.
I know, yeah. That's what they keep saying,
Well, your wife's also involved in rodeo.
Yeah. She that's how we met was college rodeoing at UNLV in Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And we met there and she ran barrels and she roped and did everything and she got her card barrel racing about 6 years ago and then she went to the career path. She's a civil engineer, so she went to that career path, and then all of a sudden 2 years ago we buy a young horse and now she's rodeoing on him.
There you go.
Yeah,
yeah.
You started out as a bull rider.
Yeah, I did. when I was young, and I always wanted to, you know, I always dressed up as a bullfighter and did all that, and then my friends kind of rode, and so then I got into riding calves and steers and went to bull riding path, and I actually went to school in Quincy, California, right up here for Feather River, and rode there, but that's kind of where I started fighting also, because for practice and all that, and that's kind of where that came about, and yeah.
And that started it.
That started it, yeah.
Now, how many rodeos do you go to a year? Because you guys are on the road a lot.
Probably 20 to 30. It's hard. I couldn't tell you a specific number, yeah. You know, but probably 20 to 30 because the contestants, they can go to 100 and something.
Yeah.
But, like, we're there all week. Like, we go to a rodeo like Red Bluff, and we're there all week. We don't leave that one. We work one – or Redding, you know. We're here from sure. Tuesday to Saturday.
And you're part of every show.
Yep. Of course. Every day of it. And so we get to hang out in the community and meet people and come hang out and meet people like you guys and be part of everything. And that's – I feel like that's a lot better than when I was riding. I was just town to town every day, you know. Mm-hmm. And now I actually get to meet people in the community. And
you're not rushing all the time.
Exactly. We get to kind of breathe. And
yeah. Well, so you get there a day early. And like the cowboys who ride the bulls, you know the bulls.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get ready for a rodeo?
This year, now that I'm, you know, in my 30s and I just can't eat what I want, do what I want. Like, we've been training this year, and I've been going to the gym and working with Champion Living Fitness, and they've been training. Matt Hook's been my coach, and so I've been actually at the gym and doing a lot of stuff for that. And
if I find that, it's just only just begun. You're in your 30s, and right. Things are changing. Yeah.
And so I figured, you know, now I have to work out and try to stay in shape instead of just doing what I wanted, and it came, you know, naturally. And
do you do a lot of cardio, or is it more of lower body, or is it?
He's got me on kind of like a prehab, you know, like a lot of, especially like knee stuff and mm-hmm. keep the legs strong and a little bit of cardio, but like he does, has me a lot of strength training and I mean, I feel good and it's probably the best I've ever felt since I've been in college because I've actually been going to the gym and working out and doing stuff.
Eating properly.
Yeah.
I mean, agility drills.
Yes, I do some ladders and some agility and you know, and some of that stuff like they have you do for football or whatever, and we've been doing some of that, so mm-hmm. keeps
kinda, and it's a year-round thing for you now.
Now it is, yes. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I find it so interesting, as do I think most people. One, you know, there's three to four of you out there, two to three.
There will be three of us this year.
Yeah. Three. And knowing it, and you look at a bull, and you know this one has a tendency to be a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, are y'all talking all the time? And hey, this is what I'm going to be doing. Or do you work with the same team? Or a lot of times you just come in.
So like Shane Jennings and Nate Justice will be there this year with me, and this will be the first time I get to work with Nate, which I'm looking forward to a lot. He's been to the NFR.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Shane will do quite a bit of the rodeos this year. Shane will be in Redding and a lot of the other rodeos I work this year. So, you know, when you work with somebody for so long, like, you get to know them. Like, yes. I worked with Eric Layton, you know,
yeah.
for
no
a long
Eric.
Time. And,
yeah.
and it was just kind of natural. You know, and so I guess, you know, when you're working with somebody new, like, you feel them out. But, you know, after the first couple, you get the flow with each other, and it's just kind of like second nature, and doesn't matter what bull it is, you're going to do what you want.
Where I was last year, and I don't know if you worked last year at the Reading Rodeo,
mm-hmm.
but You did. Well, when that bull went over.
Yeah.
The next.
Were you close by when that happened?
The next instant, there were two bullfighters going over the top right behind the bull, running behind it. And as the pickup guys with the ropes were racing out of the other end of the arena, but you two were like 20 feet behind it, behind that bull, heading for the river.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were you one of the two?
Yeah.
Oh, go. Oh,
okay. Me and Shane jumped over, and then I think Tim O'Connor, he came shortly after, and at that point I'm like, well, it's up to the pickup man, and luckily we have Bob and Matt, Bob Marriott and Matt Twitchell, and they're two of the best, you know, and so they got him roped pretty fast, and...
You know, I'm just for people, okay, but for not everybody knows rodeo. So, I mean, and what exactly goes on down there in the ring and stuff. So, when you say bullfighter, immediately you start thinking about Mexico and bullfighting and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, in simple lay language, you're the guys that are out there when those other people are doing stuff with the bulls and riding them, then you're keeping them from killing them after they get knocked on the ground.
Yeah, that's our job, is to keep the bull rider safe. And then after, you know, we protect the bull riders first and foremost, and then we also protect the bulls and make sure they're safe too.
And get back where they belong, so and hopefully don't go over any more fences.
And if you've ever seen a bull rider get hung up on his rope and he comes off the side, the bullfighters are attacking. I mean, attacking. They're jumping onto the bull, pulling on
getting that hand out of the rope.
And this is where you see people really get pushed around hard right then, because that bull is, you know, 1,500 pounds of...
At this point, he's not a happy camper.
No.
Yeah, he's doing his job and bucking, and, you know, and then in one of the best, like, nowadays you don't see it too often, guys getting hung up because of the Brazilian-style ropes and everything like that. But, like, back when, like, Joe Bumgarner had to do it, he was very good at it, you know.
That was your uncle, right?
Yeah. He's my uncle, and, so he was very good at it. And nowadays, you don't see it too often, but, you know, every now and when you do, like, you've got to be ready for it and go. And
it's amazing to see. I mean, it's your job.
Your job is to protect
that rider.
Yeah.
We got to take a break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction and more. Ted Leidy built this company 15 years ago, and it's the largest privately owned company in California. It teaches everywhere. But he's just opened up a gun store on Rhyolite Drive, 11091 Rhyolite Drive, and it's across Lake Boulevard from Waterworks Park. He's got a great selection of firearms, ammo, accessories. Do yourself a favor if you're looking for a firearm. Go in and see Northern Firearms right there on Rhyolite Drive. We'll be right back.
Nursery is back open and stocked up. Goldleaf Nursery wants to help you grow your own eatable grocery. Begin with the sweet taste of fresh fruit from fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now start preparing your garden. We have a huge selection of vegetable and herb plants, including flavor-filled heirloom varieties you can't find at the store. And we know a thing or two about this because we've been growing veggies since 1975. Spring has sprung, and it's time to add color to your landscape. The nursery is blooming with azaleas, clematis, phlox, candy tuft, perennials, and annuals. So saturate your landscape with color. Add yet another dimension to your landscape with statuary. We just received our new statuary order. Several different bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. Come by and check us out at 6186 Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road. We're open Tuesday through Saturday.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price of the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
Hey, Redding, what's better than an ooey gooey cheesy sandwich? How about five different ooey gooey cheesy sandwiches? Black Bear Diner just launched their limited time ooey gooey cheesy choices that'll cover you for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Come on in and try one of those delicious sandwiches today.
Black Bear Diner.
Now at Turtle Bay Museum, tree houses. Look who's living in the trees. On display now through May 14th, featuring immersive and educational exhibits for kids and families of all ages. All about trees, animals, responsible forestry, sustainability, and more. Come explore the museum, forest camp, wildlife center, gardens, and more with the whole family. Tree houses. Look who's living in the trees. On display now at Turtle Bay Museum. Presented by Cheryl Bambauer. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Southern sky. Have you ever noticed Southern sky?
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here's
good
the
job
studios.
On the music, Leon.
As usual, welcome back. Trish Clark, Carl Bott, 20th of April. 39 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful week, my friends. This is a perfect week for cool April night starting and a Red Bluff Roundup.
Absolutely.
And we have with us a one of the heroes of the arena. I can say that. He would not say that. His name is Josh Darius. He's a bullfighter whose job with his other two compañeros there is to keep the riders safe but also keep the bulls safe. Dude, make sure they get out okay, that they're all right, too.
That's right.
You have another life too. You've got a company too,
yeah,
that you work at, I guess, when you're not rodeoing.
Yeah, in 19, kind of before that, I always kind of worked with some friends that had some fencing companies, and then 19 started my own with my parents and my wife, and thank goodness we did it, because when 2020 hit, we didn't have any rodeos to go to. So
yeah, we had a couple of years there where not a lot of rodeo going on.
Fencing was booming, so you know, it kind of helped us out there. And I keep telling everybody, I'm like, hey, I kind of started this like when I retired, but I'm not ready to retire for a while. So you know, and everybody wants something built, and it's a good job in the winter, and when I'm not on the road, and so it's kind of.
And where's home? And where do you live?
Right now, I live in Clements, California.
Okay.
Right down there in the grass, like the foothills, beautiful grass, cattle, and trees. And, you know, it's not too many people around, so it's a pretty nice area still.
John Grounie is a friend of ours, and he talked about, and I just want to hear your opinion. He's, you know, they've been breeding bulls to buck for decades now.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what those bulls do. He said he has had a new bull gets in the chute the first time, and he says that bull looks out into the arena, and he says that bull knows what he's there for. And he says, a lot of these bulls have progressed beyond the cowboys that are trying to ride them. Mm-hmm. What's your opinion on that?
I mean, nowadays, like, well, Kish, he was one of the first to start breeding. Mm-hmm. Just straight for bucking instead of, you know, buying them from the sale yard and bucking them. And his breeding program is, you know, one of the first ones going. I think now, like, they're breeding bulls to buck so much and all these competitions that guys have to step up and progress to be able to ride them. And it's been a challenge since, like, I started, you know, and you get a jump kicker or something, you might place, maybe not. And nowadays, like, they're kind of happy to get like 6 or 7, 8 guys make the whistle at some of these rodeos. And
there are some rodeos
that doesn't seem like anybody's going to get the whistle.
No, you had zero that made it for the 8 seconds.
Yeah.
And, or you get one.
Yep.
And he has a 74 ride, wins. Because he's able to stay on.
And then he wins $10,000, and it's amazing for him. But it's like, what just happened? you know?
So are they harder to fight now, or because they know what they're supposed to do? Because we bring the bulls into the arena, you know, the day before, and in different groups, and they go around the arena, and they learn how to get out.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's the big thing. How do I get out of here?
Mm-hmm.
So,
see, now that's amazing, those inside things one never would think about. Training the bull to do something.
Right. And you're training them, but like a big part of it, it's production, because now, you know, everybody wants to be on a timeline. So like sometimes you have young bulls out there and you're going to have to rope them and do everything. And that takes 5 minutes, you know, or whatever.
It's all about keeping the action going.
All
people
about
don't
production,
want it.
The Cowboy
Channel exploded last year.
Yes,
and,
it did.
With, like you indicated,
Yellowstone and all those shows.
All these things.
That really
100
played
rodeos
into
in 100 days.
Yep.
And then, of course, we went to our first NFR last year. And it was amazing. I mean, I've been to Sturgis several times. And you think of Sturgis with all these thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And it put cowboy hats on them. And, I mean, they come in. We've got, I think there's something like, 600 rodeos a year in America.
Yeah.
And they all end up at the NFR.
And that's just pro rodeos, you know.
Yes.
I was born and raised in Twin Falls, Idaho, and rodeo everywhere.
Yep.
I mean, we were at a rodeo someplace in that valley every weekend forever.
And like you said, not a PRCA rodeo.
No, just a rodeo. It was just rodeo country.
Yep. They're everywhere.
So, how long can you, are you going to do this as long as you feel like you can do it safely?
As long as I can feel like I can protect the bull riders, you know, if I get to a point where, like, I feel like I can't do this, then that's, you know, when you
got to
call
it. Yeah. So, what's the oldest bullfighter you've ever heard of? Are they in their 40s?
There's been some guys in their 50s, you know.
Okay.
And so, I mean.
There was a guy that was a clown. I mean, he, same thing. And he was old.
Those are different, though. Those are the guys in their barrel.
But they're still out there getting kicked around by.
I know, like, Cecil Harris, I don't know how old he was, but I think he was, like, in his 70s, you know, or 80, I don't even know.
He was,
like,
there was some of them that were
from out east.
Well, we're here with Josh Darius, who is he's going to be one of the bullfighters at Red Bluff Roundup, which starts this Friday.
Yeah, tomorrow.
We'll be there, tomorrow. Jeez. Mm-hmm. We'll be there tomorrow night. And and then he's going to come back for the Reading Rodeo.
Yeah.
And we've been really, really happy to have you in here.
I appreciate it. It's been awesome. Awesome time.
Yeah, great time. I just am so anxious for this
now,
all to start.
I got to throw this in. Your wife, Tyla, is a breakaway roper.
Yep.
That event has exploded.
Yes,
and
it has.
If you don't know what that is, it's like the first part of calf roping. And she ropes the calf, horse stops. When the rope breaks away from the horn and it's tied by a string, time stops.
That's right.
And it has exploded in the rodeo world, even though it's been with the women's rodeo for decades in college.
Forever.
And you can run 10 riders through there, probably, if everybody's organized, 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. It's the calf wins every time. And, you know, the
calf wins. It just keeps running.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. And then, I mean, you're talking about times under 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
They're
fast.
Yeah. Oh, and if you don't think girls can rope.
Mm-hmm. And well, especially this year when Jackie won the 600,000 at the American. Like, I mean, why wouldn't you? You just go try, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. R.C. Landingham, we're going to have him.
RC won
$1 million this year, and I met him at the NFRs, and he's just like you. What a nice young man.
He is very nice.
That's the great thing about rodeo. I mean, and the people are just nice people.
People have good times at rodeo.
Gentlemen,
there's no riots in the stands. Yeah. There's fights afterwards, but you know,
that's booze. That ain't rodeo.
That's at the dance.
Yeah. Just everywhere.
Hey, you know. Josh Darius, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing with us.
I appreciate you guys having me. It was an awesome time.
Well, hope to see you again.
I hope to see everybody at the Red Bluff Roundup and come in May and in here in Redding.
I tell you what, our ticket sales have gone crazy, and the Roundup sold out for Saturday night, and so. Rodeo is still strong.
Yeah, there's nothing better, and the feeling we get when there's a sold-out crowd and they're loud and cheering and having fun, that's the best feeling in the world.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay, we're going to take a break for the news, which I've already gotten into, and when we come back, Chairman of the Board of Supervisors, Patrick Jones, is going to join us.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
On the pill to take effect while a legal challenge to the medication's FDA approval continues. I'm Shelley Adler.
The House votes today on a transgender sports bill.
The House is expected to vote on legislation that would ban transgender women and girls from competing in female school athletics, a key campaign promise that Democrats have decried as cruel and discriminatory. Titled the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, the bill would amend federal education law that prohibits sex-based discrimination to define sex as based solely on a person's reproductive biology and genetics at birth. It's unlikely that the bill will reach the president's desk. Edwin Mora, Capitol Hill.
SpaceX's giant new rocket blasted off on its first test flight, but exploded minutes after leaving the launch pad. There were no people or satellites on the rocket. Wall Street, the Dow is down 52 points. More at townhall.com.
People ask me sometimes, Lance, I'm worried about my finances and I feel bad because I shouldn't be worried, right? I realize that inflation is going to be eating up money. I've got to do something to get around this crazy stock market and Biden's spending spree. Gold has, since the beginning of time, been the resource that God's people have relied on. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, is what the prophet Haggai said during a time of great shaking. To protect your retirement, I recommend that you diversify your 401k or IRA right out of paper assets and into physical gold. And the best way to do that is with Gold IRA from the Birch Gold Group. I want you to text the words FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to 989898 and get a free info kit on gold IRAs. There's no strings attached to this, so just text FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to 989898 and see what I've discovered here about gold and its ability to stabilize your investment and create a storage of wealth for you in unsteady times.
President Biden's nominee to be the next Labor Secretary testifies at the U.S. Senate today, but faces doubts about her nomination from Democrats.
Biden picked Deputy Labor Secretary Julie Sue in February to replace Marty Walsh, the former mayor of Boston. But a handful of moderate Democrats have not publicly stated whether they'd vote for Sue's nomination. Sue was previously confirmed as Deputy Labor Secretary, but she's faced opposition from business groups critical of her record leading California's Labor Department. She supported an overturned California law that would have required app-based ride-hailing and delivery companies and trucking businesses to treat their workers as employees, providing benefits rather than independent contractors. Donna Water, Washington.
The 84-year-old white man who shot a black teenager in Kansas City has pleaded not guilty. That came in his first court appearance. News and analysis at townhall.com. Facebook users can now apply for their share of a $725 million privacy settlement that parent company Meta has agreed to pay.
Meta is paying to settle a lawsuit alleging the world's largest social media platform allowed millions of its users' personal information to be fed to Cambridge Analytica. It's not clear how much money individual users will receive. To apply for the settlement, users can fill out a form and submit it online or print it out and mail it.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. Netflix will be shutting down its DVD by mail rental service later this year. Even though most Netflix subscribers stream video now, the service still delivers films and TV shows in the familiar red and white envelopes. Mailing discs was how the company got started. But those envelopes will come to a stop at the end of September. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station. Today, the 20th of April, the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community. Shasta Regional Medical Center, Liam's at the helm.
Good morning,
buddy. How are you?
I'm hanging out.
Yeah, good. Oh, good. I'm glad you decided to hang out
here.
Yeah,
it is 420, so.
It is 420. Which you didn't even know until I had to explain it to Trish and Liam.
I don't know. It says something.
I think we should spend the whole next hour just like, hey, man.
Well, I hope we don't do that.
This morning we have Patrick Jones on, man.
Okay, it's 47 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 71 and a low this evening of 49. On Friday, it's going to be mostly sunny, a high of 80 and a low of 56. Saturday, warm weekend coming up, lovely weather for the rodeo, a high of 84 and a low of 55, and cool April nights. It's just going to be great. On Sunday, we're looking for a high of 83, Sunday night, low of 49, and all clear and sunny through that. On Monday, a high of 80 and a low of 53, and we're going to keep that sunny 80, mid-80s through the next week. Looking really good in the weather for all the events that are coming up. The weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay, a little housekeeping tidbit here. Our signal on our AM station, we've had to turn that down. Our signal is strong, but it is totally interfering with another station in town here. So, you know, we worked together, and what we did, we had a engineer up here from Sacramento, great guy, been doing this a long time. I mean, he took everything apart, put it back together again, and it killed the interference for 8 minutes, and then it came back. So we're in the process of laying a new cable out to the tower, thinking, well, that's, you know, maybe that's it. But you can still hear us on FM, on our FM 96.5, and you can hear us over our streaming all the time. And if you turn up your radio, you can hear us on the AM. So it's not that we're doing away with AM the automakers and some politicians.
Well, they're trying.
I started throwing it out there.
Well, it's now, a quick way to get rid of conservative talk shows.
Speaking of a man who waffles on a lot of things, we have Patrick Jones.
Switching back and forth, yeah.
Patrick Jones with us today, chairman of the Board of Supervisors. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. Tough act to follow, a bullfighter, though.
Oh, I tell you
for
what.
Sure.
You know, he walked in and he doffed his cowboy hat.
Immediately.
He had a nice hat too.
You know, and American made.
I'll just throw out there with the doffing of the hat. I wish that men would remember that gentlemen do not wear hats in buildings, and they certainly do not wear them at a dinner table, and that includes baseball caps. I wish people would remember that. Well, very insulting to the ladies in the room.
Have you been to cafes and local places in well? Okay. I don't know what happened there.
Did they just say thank you? John, they just came in to say hi.
Ruth and John Grounie came in.
I know. I love it.
And now they're leaving. Oh, you almost got bumped, Pat.
Wow, that was great.
Okay. Patrick, so many things going on, and I don't even know where to start. one is, y'all voted for term limits.
Yes, we did. That was an issue that Supervisor Chris Kellstrom ran on, and you know, that's important that when you run on something that you bring it to the board and you act upon it, and that's what he did, and the board unanimously approved term limits. Now, that'll go to the vote of the people at the next general election.
Oh, okay.
And if the public decides to do that, which they will, then it'll be two terms from that moment on. So, essentially, we could have three terms. Because
Of you in office right now.
Right. And now a future board could put that back to a vote of the public, and they could reverse that if they so want. So it's,
I don't see it reversing. I think, you know what, you all are citizens that represent us, and which is one of the reasons I hate when they start putting together committees. We voted for you. You make the decisions.
Correct.
And if you don't like what Patrick Jones votes for, Mary or Tim, then in 4 years you can put them out. And that's the way it works.
Well,
term limits, I think, is something that a lot of people are agreeing with.
I mean, there's good and bad with it, for sure. But public always supports it. Every time that it's been available to the public to vote on, they do support it. So it's something that Supervisor Kellstrom ran on, and he made true on his promise, and the board moved it to the next step now, which is the voters.
But there's another side to that whole thing, and I would ask you to look back at everything that's happened in the state of California since we put in term limits. What we have now is a bunch of bureaucrats who are running our county and our state because they're elected. The people that we elect that serve in these terms, they're not there long enough to figure out where the restroom is. So they've got their staff people who are making the decisions, and they don't have any – there's nobody left who has any establishment memory. They don't know what happened before they got there, so they make decisions that are totally contrary. I'm just going to finish my thought, is if the people who are part of this republic would take their responsibility seriously and get out and vote instead of having 50% of the people eligible that are actually registered and then only 50% of them actually voting, they could take back and they would not need term limits. They'd be throwing the bums out that aren't doing their job.
And I agree, in a perfect world, that would be correct, but it is not. And long as the PACs control Sacramento, it will never be fair from this moment on.
No, you're absolutely right.
And, you know, money. It comes down to money.
Yes.
And it's a darn shame that people won't pay attention to what people are doing and vote them out.
I want to take an early break so we can get back into, what you and I originally talked about was Chris Street and the allegations you threw out there, plus a lot of other things going on. This portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. Patrick works in workers' compensation. He's an expert in this. If you're having problems getting the treatment you need, other things that have to do with an injury at work, give him a call at 530-262-2168 for a free consultation. Patrick worked for the insurance companies for a couple years, couldn't stand it, and he said, I don't like doing this. And so he went, opened up his own office, and now he's got the largest workers' compensation office north of Sacramento. You need somebody that's going to fight for you, and Patrick is a veteran. He's a former law enforcement guy, officer, and he will fight for you. Give him a call, 530-262-2168. We'll be right back.
Go
Goldleaf Nursery is back open and stocked up. Goldleaf Nursery wants to help you grow your own eatable grocery. Begin with the sweet taste of fresh fruit from fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now start preparing your garden. We have a huge selection of vegetable and herb plants, including flavor-filled heirloom varieties you can't find at the store. And we know a thing or two about this because we've been growing veggies since 1975. Spring has sprung, and it's time to add color to your landscape. The nursery is blooming with azaleas, clematis, phlox, candy tuft, perennials, and annuals. So saturate your landscape with color. Add yet another dimension to your landscape with statuary. We just received our new statuary order. Several different bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. Come by and check us out at 6186 Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road. We're open Tuesday through Saturday.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hopper takes over your commercial, a hop with the hop. Where the apps are the coolest and the music is the simplest with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling BNT Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Hey there, friends. RC from Tobacco and Brew, sharing with you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Foundation Cigar Company, The Tabernacle. A full-bodied smoking experience, this stick was curated with the connoisseur in mind, as well as our value-conscious customer. This ensemble of long filler from Honduras and Nicaragua is swaddled with the sensational Connecticut broadleaf wrapper. This smoke is a luxurious gift for any cigar aficionado. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Attention all hunting enthusiasts. Don't miss the 29th annual banquet for the Redding chapter of the Safari Club International taking place at 5 p.m. at the Wind River Resort Center on April 29th. This year's event promises to be bigger and better than ever, featuring an exciting auction with amazing prizes such as hunting trips, guns, equipment, and artwork. And that's not all. There'll be games and a drawing for even more chances to win. For more information and to get your tickets, go to sciredding.org. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to 3-Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM on Talk Radio. Today, the 20th of April, this portion of the show brought to you by, think about purchasing an electric car. Redding Electric Utility has rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle and charging station. Visit cityofredding.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. Cars, trucks, bikes. Just want to remind everybody that KIXC is having their drive-through tri-tip lunch today at the station in the parking lot there on Eureka. And I don't know how much – we've given away all of our tickets, so sorry about that. But if you still want to go through and get a tri-tip lunch, stop by there today. We're here with Patrick Jones. Trish Clark and I are here with Patrick Jones. Chris Street was – offered the job as a county executive officer.
Yeah, so let's back up a little bit. Okay. So we needed a new CEO. Ours resigned, and so we put out a recruitment. We received 40 applicants. So if anyone says that Shasta County can't attract good applicants, they would be wrong.
Sure.
We had 40, and there was a lot of a lot of very good applicants in that.
And did you have a consultant?
Yeah, we had a firm that would put out that information, and then of the 40, that firm then selected 20 to do a little more in-depth review on, and then ultimately selected 7 to bring before the board. And then we had we took 2 days, and then we interviewed those 7. Now, the interview panels were department heads in one group, a citizen committee in one group, and then the board of supervisors in another. And so there was 3 separate groups, and they were all interviewed. And then we ranked them accordingly. And there were some interesting trends with that. However, the majority of the board ranked these 7 individuals. And then an offer was made. The offer was accepted, contingent upon a background check and reference checks. And so an investigation took place with Mr. Street, and a thorough investigation. And after that investigation was complete, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors met in closed session to review that information. Based on the information that we reviewed, we then took a vote, and it was 5-0 to rescind that offer. We allowed the 5 days necessary for the applicant to respond. We have since made a new offer, and we'll be starting that process again with another applicant. And one of the other applicants that we did interview, so we don't have to do the interview process again. And so that is moving forward as we speak. Mr. Street, he interviewed very well, and we liked a lot of the characteristics that he possesses, and the majority of the board did make that offer to him. Unfortunately, we can't look at backgrounds and references and things until we make an offer. It's mm-hmm. just that's in government code. That's how you do it. Some would say, how come you didn't do these checks prior? Well, because we can't. And so
that seems strange.
It is strange. And I wish it would be opposite of that. But,
yeah, so
but,
you can see the references and a background check before you even go through the rest of the process.
And I'm not saying for Mr. Street that he had anything illegal or anything in his background. He did not. But we take it as a whole. We take everything as a whole. There are things that we certainly didn't know when we did the interview process. And, you know, and so we wish him well. He obviously had a leg up because he lived here. He was raised here. He went away and then he came back, so he knew the area very well, and he interviewed very well, and he has some strong abilities that we thought would serve Shasta County very well.
He's a very intelligent guy.
Yeah, no, I mean he's a top notch guy, and he wouldn't have gotten into this group of 7 and wouldn't have gotten you know, we wouldn't have made an offer mm-hmm. if we didn't think he was capable.
How did the other 2 groups rating?
I'm not at liberty to discuss the details of closed session.
Okay.
Which,
okay.
As you,
it seems to be going out everywhere.
Well, unfortunately.
Everybody else has. Patrick, why are you an exception?
Unfortunately, there was a leak. We have hired internal investigation to determine if we can determine where that leak came from. It is a criminal act to leak confidential attorney-client privileged information, which it was, and there was a leak. Now, where did it come from? Was it from the group with the Board of Supervisors? Was it with the Citizens Committee, or was it with a department head? I do not know 100%. I have my suspicions, which I will not divulge, but I will wait till the investigation is complete to see if we can determine that leak. Now, I will say this, that the leak didn't help the process, that's for sure. Nobody should have known Mr. Street's name. However, I will say, however, Mr. Street, on his own accord, prior to the selection process, was going around town talking to individuals, which is not a bad thing. He was talking to leaders in the community about his desire to be the next CEO mm-hmm. and that he had put his name in the hat. So his name was out there, and it was drawing some attention. One of the things that was drawing attention from Mr. Street that he was, I think, the vice president or president of New California, which I have nothing personally against. I recognize the lack of representation that we have. But for the more liberals in our area, they took great offense to that and did not mm-hmm. like that.
I think that was that certainly was the topic of conversation at the beginning about how could they possibly have this guy that wants to separate the state.
Correct.
I asked
an assumption that he wasn't local, which is still an assumption in the community that he's done. Why doesn't he just go away?
Sure. I asked him, would you resign from that position? And he said, yeah.
Yes, yeah, no, he did say that. And so like I say, he did interview very well. It's unfortunate the things that happened. The leak didn't help anything. I think his going around town, while he may have felt that that was probably an appropriate thing to do, his associations of the past then were going to be under scrutiny from the community while we are trying to go through this process, which then made it very difficult. So, and then there's these other allegations at the YMCA, and I have no knowledge of any of those allegations.
I'm reading that allegation right now. But the when it all occurred, then he came back and he said that the Shasta County was is misusing their funds, that the reserve is well below where it should be, and that it was done, in his words, I think, illegally.
Yeah, no, he misspoke for sure, and we have been following policy. He had said that we had loaned some money, which it was not a loan. It was a transfer, and it was a legal transfer, and I took part of that transfer. Our reserves right now are a little bit lower than our policy would like, but it's simply a policy, and it's an area to strive for, and it's a very high reserve. And it's always good to shoot for high reserve. We all have lived through this last global recession, and based on that hardship, it is nice to have, you know, up to a 25% reserve. We are not at that point, but it is
about 13.5.
Correct, which is actually far more than the city of Reading ever was when I was there, and that's a decent reserve.
About 30 million.
Right, and so we would like to have it a little bit more, but at the same time, we also have some priorities going on right now, and we may address the reserve policy as to that percentage. That percentage from 17, I believe, to 25 was set by a previous board, and we may be looking into that. But so he is correct that we are below our reserves, but not in that a so-called loan was made illegally. It was a money transfer. So he has had some misinformation. And I'm not sure why he's coming forward with these things. I don't know that that's going to help him in any way. We do believe that we are nowhere near bankruptcy. He has mentioned that, and in fact, I would go so far to say is the county's in very good shape compared to many other cities or counties. One of the things where counties get in big trouble is with your CalPERS retirement, and most counties that unfunded liability, that debt is growing. With Shasta County, from policies made before us, we are paying that debt off, and that debt is shrinking. And
there's one more thing. I misspoke here. He said that the general fund was 8.9%, not 19, or $20 million. So,
well, and it fluctuates throughout the year, and so you have to start possibly at the start of a fiscal year. Maybe that would get back up. Yeah. And it is lower than the 17, I will say that.
Yeah.
I would point out that PERS thing was a previous board, and there was a time, if you will remember, and I think maybe before you were in the city already, but there was a holiday. PERS did a holiday where we didn't, any of us agencies didn't have to pay in.
Correct.
And a lot of people, a lot of agencies just spent that money.
City of Reading.
And that's why they ended up there. If you'll check into the records of Shasta County, we didn't do that. We knew that was a vacation, but it was going to come back and bite you later on. And so we didn't take advantage of that, and we kept continually putting that aside. So that one of the reasons we weren't in the hole.
Right.
Like,
I mean, it did help the county a little bit. And at the time, the city did use those funds because their investment, CalPERS were investments, were doing quite well at the time. However, in the big picture, even if the city had paid into that, it would have not come anywhere close to the deficits that were created in the global recession.
When PERS changed their investment patterns.
Right.
Yeah. That was the big deal.
Let me ask another question that came up, and I've heard two different answers on this. One of the things that Mr. Street said was the county went from rural to suburban, and I thought that would be something that had to be voted on, yet I was told, nope, it goes by population, and it's automatically done.
Correct. He has misspoken again on that. Based on our population, from the best that we can tell, at least from the last 20 years, based on our population, we are going to be suburban.
And that doesn't have any – does that have anything to do with the Board of Supervisors?
Well, what it does
– this is it. You're now suburban because you hit this number.
Well, the reality there is that it just simply changes how many people. It gives us a little bit more representation at CSAC, and it gives us a little bit of more voting power is really all that that does. But it is based on population, which we can't change. It is based off our population.
So it was not a decision made by the Board of Supervisors?
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Now, we could ask to have that designation changed, but it would not be consistent with our population. So it's a designation that could change, but I don't see any advantage in doing it.
So when did the Board of Supervisors basically stop attending CSAC as a rural county and start? I mean, how did that process work?
Right.
Did CSAC come out and say, now you're a part of this?
Our acting CEO just recently addressed this as early as yesterday in an email to me and to the rest of the board, in that there's, at least in the last 20 years, they have no record that change occurred. So we've been in the suburban category for at least the last couple of decades. So it's not something.
Well, we weren't in it in 2006 because I was from the rural category and still a part of RCRC. And we were meeting on a regular basis, and I was part of the Justice Committee. In fact, I chaired it for many years for CSAC as a rural representative.
Well, it had
so
to have
in
changed.
2006. It happened since then.
Well, based on population, it probably had to have changed somewhere around there, but nobody seems to know. But it had to change there based on population. So,
not a conscious decision saying, "Oh, we want to go suburban."
Right, but I don't see whether it's rural or suburban that there's a major financial change there at all. In fact, one might say that being in suburban, that your grant opportunities are going to be better than in rural. So, again, it's a statement that Mr. Street has made. I don't think it's terribly relevant. For our size, we should be looked at as suburban.
Okay.
But in the rural, you're a big fish, and in the suburban, you're a little fish.
Well, but again, in CSAC, you get more representation, and that's really what it was all about. And I'm not a big CSAC fan. I don't believe in half of the stuff that they're doing.
What does CSAC stand for?
So in the city, we had the League of
California
Cities.
California State Association of Counties.
Counties, yep. And so it's a group of counties. But I was down there last week, for example, and when in the legislative report, the gentleman there, he was showing several bills that CSAC supports or opposed. And on the banning of the canines, they were neutral. And a gentleman asked a supervisor asked from Glynn County, why would you possibly be neutral on that? That makes no sense at all, and we should definitely oppose that. But they wouldn't. And that tells you a lot about the mentality and the members of CSAC.
And it again, as the state has since term limits, that has consistently been. When I first was a part of CSAC, the rural counties we really were able to control a lot of things. As we've gone to the whole state being totally, you know, there are no Republican representatives on anything, that has followed through with CSAC as well.
We have to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals. Recognized by the Watson Health Institute, they are on the cutting edge of technology over at Shasta Regional. They are doing procedures there that you used to have to travel 3 hours for, and they've done them many times, very successful. Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts here. We'll be right back with Patrick Jones.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve a growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hey there, friends. RC from Tobacco and Brew sharing with you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Foundation Cigar Company, The Tabernacle. A full-bodied smoking experience, this stick was curated with the connoisseur in mind, as well as our value-conscious customer. This ensemble of long filler from Honduras and Nicaragua is swaddled with the sensational Connecticut broadleaf wrapper. This smoke is a luxurious gift for any cigar aficionado. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
All my instincts. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark Carlbot. 20th of April, 8:36 in the morning, 41 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful week. Red Bluff Roundup, cool April nights. It's going to be super. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off of Athens Avenue, where I've been going for 15 years. Never had a bad haircut. It's better known. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. They work by appointments only. In fact, I'm going there today.
Do they trim mustaches?
You know what? Linda asked me about that. You know, I have not touched this, but the other night I kind of got a, you know, pair of scissors out and kind of, and I'm, nah. Yeah, they do. I think they probably will. They'll ask me and I'll say, no, no, don't touch this stash. But the appointment really works out. So you give them a call at 530-244-9478. Set up the time that works for you. Then you walk into man's last stronghold. Cypress Square Barbershop. Okay, Trish and I are here with Chairman of the Board, Patrick Jones. We've been talking about Chris Street. We talked about the suburban versus rural and how that happened. And it turns out it's a numbers thing that just automatically kind of switches you in there.
Well, the board most likely did make a decision, but it had to have been probably based off of what Tricia said, 2006, 7, 8, somewhere in there.
Yeah, because I served till the end of 6, and I know at that time we were still in the RCRC.
Okay. The Dominion voting machines just slapped Fox News and for a defamation that Fox settled out of court. Does that have any the fact that they're saying what Fox News was saying was false?
Well, I
wish. Does that have any impact on
no.
what goes on around here?
No, it doesn't have any impact. And, of course, I wish that case would have gone to trial because I don't know if we've had a case gone to trial yet at all.
Well, we talked about that in the first yeah. thing. It's never we've never had an adjudication by a court on anything that was alleged.
It goes to the court. And from what I understand, and I don't know every case because there were lots of them, they said that you didn't have standing.
But they came up with a different rule every time.
You know, we didn't make the decision. You know, the majority of the board did not make the decision to eliminate electronic voting machines based on this Delaware case, even though members of employees of Dominion in that document in the Delaware case have come forward and said there was hacking and that their program was riddled with flaws. And there was at least two employees that came forward in that document. And that's why I wished it had gone to trial. But it's hard to get justice sometimes in our justice system.
Okay, well, let's just move past that because it's already been decided. So now we're setting up a brand new voting system. Is it brand new?
Not really. So what we did to satisfy all state and federal laws is we did purchase some equipment from HART, which will allow all Americans with disabilities to vote at the precinct and assisted or unassisted. And we already have a process for hand counting. It's the recount. Anytime there is a very close election, the ROV does perform a recount. So the process in how we do that simply has to be certified by the Secretary of State, which we are waiting on right now. And I would expect here shortly that we will get approval on that and start moving forward. The counting of ballots is something that every county does in the state of California by hand. They do that every election cycle. What we're saying is that we're a small enough county that we can count them all by hand. Now, it will take more labor. But I don't think it will take more time than the current ROV because we don't get election results completely until 3 weeks after the election.
Exactly.
And I believe we can count them in
but
that time.
But we used to get, before the electronic voting machines came in, we used to have results at 10 o'clock at night. I remember walking to the different election parties that night at like 9 o'clock. I talked to you, you've been decided.
Right.
But that was a scanner. That would just scan the votes, and then somehow we've gotten into a 3-week counting.
Well, all I can tell you
is electronic
is that from the multitude of calls and the research that I've done, and talking to a lot of programmers, and when those are the key guys, when you talk to the programmers about these corporate elections and this proprietary software that they use, they all say you gotta get rid of it. That they all have back doors. You're leaving yourself open to possible interference. And it's interesting that in 2016, every Democrat in the United States was complaining of outside interference, and including the California Secretary of State even put a memo out in June of 2018 saying that the White House remains in denial, that our elections have been stolen, that our elections...
Well, yeah, Hillary was real clear about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so all of a sudden, they're complaining heavily because I do believe there was outside interference. But then you fast forward after 2020, and we have free and fair elections, and it's a big lie. Well, there is a big lie going on, and the big lie is that for quite some time, corporate America has owned our elections, and we have done something in California that no other county has done. We have rid ourselves of that. We are trying to have every vote counted every time. And for anybody that says we're trying to disenfranchise voters, that's completely the opposite. Because unknowing to people, their vote may not have been counted many times. We're going to do it by hand.
People need to realize that like 68% of our county votes by mail already.
Or heavier than that.
Or heavier. But you cannot start counting those. Cannot start counting those till 8 o'clock on
actually
election
the
night.
Day
or is that right?
Close. The day before at 5, we can start opening ballots, opening envelopes, and start counting those. And again, in teams of 3 or 4, with the right process and with the right number of people, and I'm really looking forward to county employees. We have 2,200 county employees, and I believe with some help from them and some incentives that we can quickly count those. Now, what was interesting in 2012, There was an election here in Shasta County, a city council election for the city of Reading, where Gary Cadd won the election, or seemed to have won the election, by 11 votes over Dick Dickerson.
Yeah.
And so Dick Dickerson called for a recount, which was certainly his right.
Oh, I didn't know he did. I thought he had just said, okay.
No, he called for a recount, okay. And I would have too. I mean, on 11 votes, 11 that's votes. Really close. So 26,000 ballots in the stack. Had one from Gary's, one person from Gary's side, one person from Dick's side, and one person from the county, a three-member team. And we flipped those ballots, 26,000 ballots they flipped. And I was there for several days. What we saw in that was that every human involved in that agreed on the intended mark of the voter. Not one disagreement in 26,000. And it was the correct mark. But hundreds of times, the computer got it wrong. Hundreds. So one could say, from what our experience was here in Shasta County, that humans in the correct number of teams can do it better than the computer. And here's why. For example, when you have the two bubbles, vote for Gary, vote for Dick, and you're supposed to fill in one of the bubbles. Well, somebody circles the bubble that they want. The computer doesn't understand that.
And kicks it out.
And kicks it out. But yet, to the human, it was pretty clear who they wanted.
Yeah.
Right? And other marks like that, where one bubble was bubbled in, and then an inadvertent mark on the other. It's pretty clear who they wanted, right? But yet the computer got it wrong. And so for anybody out there that says hand counting is not accurate, I would say, from my experience, that hand counting is more accurate.
Okay. We'll take a break there, and we'll be right back.
Come to Wind River Resort and Casino and treat the mothers in your life to our Event Center Mother's Day Brunch inside the Event Center on Sunday, May 14th, beginning at 9 a.m. with seatings every 2 hours. Our buffet will include a prime rib carving station with steamer clams and crab with a variety of sides and desserts. Reservations highly suggested. For reservations or complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Now's the time to get a great deal on proven Kubota farming equipment. Tractors that are adaptable, versatile, and rated number one in durability and owner experience. Hay tools that are backed by a 2-year warranty. And durable Sidekick utility vehicles and SSV skid steers. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment for zero down, 0% APR for up to 60 months now through March 31st. Visit KubotaUSA.com for full details.
Hi, this is Chelsea with NorCal Tractor and Equipment. You do it all, we do it local.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, and emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hot Cars
and Cool April Nights
is back April 21st through the 30th.
It's over a week of classic car fun.
This year's lineup of events is bigger and better than ever, with a drive-in, poker walk, show and shines, cornhole tournament, live entertainment, and more.
Saturday, April 29th is the main event, with over 1,000 classic cars on display. Get your tickets today at any local Napa Auto Parts store.
For more information and a full schedule of events, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's
Cool.
NewAgeLights.com.
Get your discounted pre-sale tickets to the big show at any local Napa Auto Parts stores. Cool April Nights is back and better than ever. April 21st through 30th, tons of classic cars, live entertainment, cornhole tournament, drive-in movie, and so much more at this year's Cool April Nights. For a full lineup of events, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com. Sponsored in part by Reading Tourism and Marketing Group, Cresco Equipment Rentals, and Lithia Chevrolet.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios. I'm just trying to lighten the mood in here, guys. It's very intense. There's no blood on the floor, guys. And there's no blood in the decks. Everything
could be some on that.
It could be some on that. We'll never know.
Hard to spot.
Well, you know what? That spot right there could have been bloody. 8:49 in the morning tomorrow. We're going to have House Realty and talking real estate prices and everything going on. As you know, it's crazy out there. And Cool April Nights director is going to be in here.
Ken Costa, good friend.
Yeah, Ken's going to be here. The other thing, I said something, I was wrong. If I find things out, I share that with you. Yesterday I said an 84-year-old man shot a 16-year-old kid. Terrible tragedy, and he killed him. He did not kill him. He wounded him. And the kid goes from door to door trying to get help, and nobody was helping him either.
No, that's right. Yeah.
So he was not killed.
Finally, he ended up laid down, and somebody finally saw him laying there and called 911 or something.
You know,
but nobody would help him.
Thank God he wasn't killed. Anyway, it was a tragedy. Okay, we're here with Patrick Jones, chairman of the Board of Supervisors, and we've addressed Chris Reed allegations, part of them, and there's a lot of them going on. We addressed the rural versus suburban, and then the Dominion voting machines and counting by hand. Now, Mark Zuckerberg offered $1 million or something?
$1.5 million
for what?
So there was a list of things that you could use the money for, including buying a building.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a heavy discussion at the board. I did not want to take any money from Mark Zuckerberg because I know what he has attempted to do in this country. He has spent $300 to $400 million inserting monies into various election departments across the country to influence policies that would be more in their political liking. 23 states has banned that practice of using monies in that regard. Now, it's one thing just to give the county $1.5 million. I'll take it, no problem.
As long as we give total control.
Have total control. But here it's going directly to the elections office to I think, manipulate policy, which I think is very bad. And so I don't think they really care about Shasta County that much. I think they care about what's happening in our elections office. Now the board, Supervisor Cry, came up kind of with a hybrid, and so he made the motion that we would accept the money but only use it for a building, and that once it hit our accounts that it could not be taken back. That offer has been made to that foundation. We have not heard a response back to my knowledge.
Okay. Mike Lindell.
Yes.
Nationwide News.
Yes.
What's the story behind that?
So Mike has been watching Shasta County for quite some time. I also believe President Trump has, too, from the activities that have gone on here specific with trying to take back control of our elections. Mike is very proud of Shasta County, and we have been in communication with him for a while. And members of our community have been talking with Mike for quite some time. Kevin Cry, Supervisor Cry, has also met personally with Mike Lindell, and he has offered financial help if we have any litigation with regards to not being allowed to hand count. And so he has offered financial assistance if there was some sort of litigation. And why he did that is because we did get letters. I personally got letters from the United States Department of Justice, from the Attorney General, from a variety of different handicap groups, saying that if you do not have a system for the handicap, that you will be you know, in violation of state and federal laws. We have done that. We have purchased equipment, and we have in contract all the necessary requirements to handle all state and federal laws with regards to voters with disabilities. So there's not going to be any suit in that regard. Hand counting is legal in California, and the Secretary of State has said it, and she knows it.
Well, she has also said that she wants to look at the – they're going to come out with rules, right?
So
or do you give them – or do you give them, this is how we're going to do it, and they come back?
The way that it's supposed to work, which is not the way that it's going to work, but the way that it's supposed to, is we're supposed to describe how we're going to create that process. And we already have a process. Submit it to the Secretary of State for approval, which should take 2 to 3 weeks. From what I understand, that our Register of Voters is in constant contact with the Deputy Secretary of State, and the Secretary of State is preparing the process for which we will abide by. And that is as much as I know.
Okay. What are we looking at here in the future, Patrick, on just generally moving forward?
Well, it's an exciting time. You know, anytime I was talking to the acting CEO a month ago, and she goes, you know, I don't like waves. And I said, well, there's nothing wrong with waves. It's how you ride them. And, you know, for me, you know, I've been waiting for this opportunity for a long time to be chairman and to have a board that was more conservative like myself. And so there was a variety of different policies and issues that I wanted to address. And you know, they will be hard fought for. And that's part of the system that we live in. And again, if people don't like my ideas or the majority of the board, they can certainly recall us or vote us out of office, which I totally agree and know a considerable amount about. And so this is part of the process. We're finally making some policy changes that clearly are going over very well with a certain part of the community, and with the more liberal part of the community, not so much. But it's our time now. I think we've earned it. We've deserved it. We've worked hard to get to these positions. We care deeply about our county and the direction that we're going, and we are going to make some changes.
Okay, Liam has a question.
I do have a question. I mean, like, we're seeing a lot of growth, like, both economically and, like, even just, like a lot of growth. Do you guys have a plan to combat, like, the looming housing crisis that we're going to experience up here?
So right now the growth that you're experiencing is mostly downtown Reading, and I think on the big whole you're not seeing the growth. In fact, the census shows that we had very little growth over the last 10 years.
As far as people.
The growth that you're seeing is an influx of grants coming into downtown Reading in private and public partnerships, hundreds of millions of dollars into the downtown area. So I'm not sure if that's exactly the growth that the county is experiencing compared to what the city is experiencing.
Well,
One of the things that I am doing, though, that is part of the policies, is to reduce regulations, and that is very important to this board and to myself, to have fees that are appropriate, reduce fees, reduce regulations to allow for more affordable housing. And that ultimately is the main problem up and down California. If you take a look at building a house in Oregon, for example, and building it here, tack on an extra $100,000 here.
Yeah.
And that creates high housing prices.
Because, I mean, it's a safe assumption, though, to say that we are going to have more population growth. I mean, D.R. Horton bought, like, 40 or 50 acres, from what I heard, off of Shasta View to develop.
But
so
what you're saying is, if we can reduce fees, if we can reduce those costs, you're right, because I hear this from everybody, how much it costs just to, before you even start trying to build it. So that, with that, we're going to see out in the county more growth and affordable housing, like, for workers.
Correct.
And people like Liam starting off in his life, being able to find a place.
You know, everybody talks about affordable housing, but yet the costs keep going up, and the problem grows. And by having all the, you know, we have to, obviously, with state mandates, we have no, we're already fighting this battle with one hand tied behind our back because of the state mandates with regards to the California Building Code. But when it comes to the Shasta County Unified Building Code, that's where I want to reduce as much regulation and fees as possible. And it's not that we're trying to create unsafe structures, but a lot of this stuff is unnecessary. When you take a look at Wyoming, you just go build your house, and the last I checked, I don't think they're falling over. You know, and a lot of states, they don't even have a building department, if you will. And so sometimes over-regulating, trying to tell people that you should do this and you should do that, there's a price to those things. And it's increasing the cost of our homes, you know, dramatically, and it's affecting who can live here. And so we are, this board is very much going to be pushing back. We already have started, and there's, you know, we've got all year to keep pushing.
Back to your point about the population, actually Shasta County's population, as you indicate, has only increased by about $6,000 since 6,000 people since 2006.
Correct.
Whereas the city of Redding's population has almost doubled.
Correct. Well, they've had a big growth spur in the 90s.
From the 50s to 90s.
Oh, you're talking about from in the last 10 years?
Since 2006, which is almost 20 years.
Have you guys done like a projection of population growth and stuff? Do we even have numbers like that?
The problem with those is they don't work. If you took a look at progression, a growth chart in 2004, it was going to show us that this county was going to be 225,000 people by 2025.
Yeah.
And those assumptions are all incorrect. And in fact, in the last 10 years in this county, the population only grew 3,000 in the last 10 years. That's what the census showed. And we know that's not 100% accurate, but it's close. And so this is not an easy place. We don't have, the median income is low here, and mm-hmm. it's tough for families here. This is not an easy place to be. It's a beautiful place to be, but it is not an easy place to be. And my whole thing with government is, because I believe in government, is government is here to help you the best that we can. And to try to make things as easy on you as can, and still have certain amount of rules so people don't take advantage of certain things. But it's a fine line between having too much regulation and not having enough. For example, I'm bringing up the containers. Sea containers in the county have been illegal. And I don't think they should be illegal. I think you should have a couple of them. I don't think you should have 50 of them, but I think you should have one or two for proper storage. And so we're changing that policy now to help. And those are the kinds of things that we want to move forward with. Not make them illegal, but allow a person to have one or two.
In an inconspicuous place that they're not using as a billboard all the way up and down the freeway.
Right. And this is not billboards, and these are not permanent homes. These are just for storage. We already have other.